So you got to look at your gifts. Which of your gifts just laying around doing nothing? God said, I gave it to you for a reason. How come you're not using it for my glory? How come you're not using it to honor me, to bless the kingdom, and to help people in life, wherever they are, however you can help them?
Hello, and welcome to this Thanksgiving Day edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. We're always grateful for you, our listeners, and we're glad you stopped by. Coming your way next, Pastor Paul explains what the process of becoming new in Christ is all about. He says God will challenge us in four areas. The first is in our assets, which he mentioned just now. And there are three others, and they'll be easy to remember because they all begin with the letter A. Stay with us here or stop by PastorPaul.net anytime to hear any recent message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast at Google Podcasts, at Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. But right now, let's join Pastor Paul as he shares today's Destined for Victory message, the process of becoming new.
God cares who you're dealing with. He does. It's all through your Bible. He cares who you're dealing with. You see Proverbs all up and down telling you about who to deal with, who not to deal with. You see those classic things throughout your scripture. Even when somebody used to be good for you, if they change, if they become toxic, you need to know this is no longer a healthy relationship. I don't care that it used to be good. Some relationships used to be good. Now they're not, and they have to change. You have to put off stuff that has become toxic. As you deal with other people, you can't just let them hang out in your life to your own demise. You have got to let them know. Well, where's your Bible? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company, not bad people. Sometimes the people, but his company's bad. I'm not going to argue with you about, are they a good person? If their company, if hanging around you doesn't produce good things in your life, they're bad company. Do you know good, quote unquote, good people can be bad company? Cause they're wasting your time. They're taking you in another focus you shouldn't have. And so the Bible said bad company corrupts good character. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 16. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. When I grew up, they were always talking about getting who you got married to. It didn't say anything about marriage. Oh, it's going to include that. But the principle is yoking your life with somebody who isn't going where God's taking you. Why are you in a yoke? A double yoke, two oxen. They both have yokes, so they're tied by their yoke. And they got to go in the same direction because they're bound. Everybody get it? Don't be in the yoke with folk who don't love God and are walking with him. But I know Christians who got married and they weren't saved. I do too. I passed a whole bunch of them. The Bible doesn't tell you to go back, try to undo you can't undo that stuff. You married, both of y'all were not in Christ, or one of you came into Christ, the other is not. The Bible didn't say break that up because you're not equally yoked. No, you got to figure out how to live with that person. In fact, the scriptures tell you there's a way that you live in such a way that you witness to them by the way you operate as a spouse. Oh, this is some good teaching. You don't like it, but it's good. I brought my own amens. Go on, Doc. Come on up, Doc. So you sit there and have all kind of faces. I'm not scared of your face. Got a mask on anyway. I can't see the face you're making. but later on, one of these days, if we ever get out of these masks and you go to making those bad faces, I've seen many a bad face over my years. I've seen intimidating, I've seen mad folk. I've seen all kind of, you see what you see up here. It's something. Sometimes it will stop my message and say, really? That's the way you want to look at me, really. But nobody's scared of you. Isn't that what we said as kids? Ain't nobody scared of you. Do not be yoked together in a covenant relationship with somebody who is an unbeliever. That's the general rule. Yes, there are exceptions to the principle, but the principle is if you have the opportunity to make the call now, don't start out in a relationship that is with somebody who is going in a different direction because they have a different set of priorities. Then look at the common sense here in 1 Corinthians 6. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? It's just common sense. It's not, yeah, you go judging people. I'm not judging people. I'm trying to live righteous. You're trying to be as wretched as you possibly can. What are we going to have in common? You are excelling in wretchosity. I know that's not a word. I just made it up. What fellowship can light have with darkness? You see that? Darkness is not being judged by light. It just exposes what was in the dark. That's all. Next question. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's an ancient name of a presence of evil. Other religions have it, whatever represented evil in theirs. We know the evil one in the Word of God. His name is Satan. And what harmony is there between him and Christ? It's just common sense. Why are you telling me who I can be with? The Bible's telling you, what's the point of trying to walk with somebody who's not going where you're going? Last question in the text. What does the believer have in common with an unbeliever? Oh, and the next verse, verse 16, asks the final question. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? In other words, look at the contrast that just your life goals create. Your life priorities, they create contrast that you have nothing to do with. I'm going east, you're going west. At a certain point, we could stop and have a little quick conversation. But as soon as we keep going where we're going, we're parting company. You get it? So you can't have a flat out yoke bearing relationship and it work well. That's the whole thing he's trying to say here. So I know somebody who got saved and they were saved and they married an unbeliever. Yeah. So that doesn't make it right. And now that they're married with them, they need to dwell with them according to knowledge. Bible doesn't tell them break up with your unsaved spouse. Some folk want to break up more with their saved one than their unsaved one. Truth be told. And we tell them, nope, you made that, you stay there. Oh, I got more people trying to get me to justify their mess. No, I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I can't give you what you want. Pastor, what should I do? Stay there. You married them to death, not till frustration. And by the way, you know, you can't kill them. The prophet Amos, the Old Testament, you know that, Amos 3:3. How can two walk together? Lest they be agreed. NIV says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. You got to reach an agreement. You won't go here? I won't go here. Won't go together? Yeah, let's go. That's agreement. Let's go. We go together. We talk with each other. We fellowship while we're going. And you can't do that unless there's agreement. All right? I got to move along. So the key question not only is how are you handling your assets, now you got to look at how are you handling your association. Do you have relationships that even God can't touch? I'm not letting God get at this. God's not going to tell me about my entanglement. The third part. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just leaving that with you. Just let that marinate. That's what that's going to do. That's just going to marinate right there. Just right there. You and your entanglement, you got to answer to God. We got a situationship. I've heard that one too. Oh, when you're a pastor, you hear a little of everything. And I have a kind of situationship. Okay.
We'll be right back with the second half of today's message with Pastor Paul Shepherd. He's senior pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. We do want to thank all of you who support Destined for Victory with your prayers and financial support, gifts that help Pastor Paul share the joy of the gospel message with a growing audience. Destined for Victory is supported entirely by friends like you. So, as God leads, please prayerfully consider making a generous gift today. Give online safely and securely from our website, PastorPaul.net, or simply give us a call at 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Becoming new in Christ is a process, one in which God will convict you in four key areas. The first is your assets, which include talent, time, and treasure. The second is your associations. Let's look now at the final two in the second half of today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Paul.
So, assets, association. Number three, your actions, which include your words. What's the Bible say about them? Colossians 3:17, the New Testament book of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, that's why I added words to it. Whether in word or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So are your actions and all your words things that you can give glory to God as you speak and as you do? And are there things you say, no, I can't say God's pleased with that? Then that's in the putting off category. Plain and simple. It's in the putting off category. It said, whatever you do. It's not like you, well, I didn't do it around the saints. What that got to do with anything? I didn't offend anybody because nobody saw me. Do you know you have a God who's watching, who's with you every day, who knows when you are sleeping? He knows when you are awake. He knows when you're good or bad. See, what they used to tell us was Santa Claus. That wasn't Santa Claus. That was the Lord. They messed around and put that on some fat dude from up north. That wasn't him. That was the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does it mean to act or speak in his name? On his authority, things he would be pleased with, in compliance with him, is what that means. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the key question here is, are you speaking and acting in ways that please God? Plain and simple. And you got to evaluate that. Ooh, life groups are going to have fun with this week's outline. Number four, and finally, attitudes. God's not just coming for your assets, your associations, your actions and words. He's looking at your attitude. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Here's another get in your business scripture in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:5. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. I love that. Paul said, don't judge stuff that you see now. You don't have the equipment to judge it with. That's in your life and in other people's lives. You ever seen these condemning Christians? Condemning other folk? You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know how they're dealing with God and how God is dealing with them. The time is coming, though, when God will bring to light the things that are hidden in darkness. It either happened in this life or in judgment. And what will he expose? The motives of the heart. Do you know the difference between Saul and David was one thing, heart? A lot of people look at Saul being dethroned by God and saying, yeah, he stole sheep. He kept some folk alive. God said to kill, and he stole sheep and cattle when God said to kill them all. But, And David, a murderer and adulterer. So in your world, David's done. Paul, give him a slap on the wrist. Saul, slap on the wrist and let him go on about his business. No, God said just the opposite, because I'm looking at the heart. When Saul was told by Samuel, God said, kill all of the Amalekites. Last one of them. God said, kill them all. Old Testament, cold-blooded. God, in the Old Testament, the only way you get rid of sin is get rid of sinners. Y'all better thank God you live in the New Testament. We'd have been a bunch of dead. Kill them all. Don't keep any of them alive. Kill the livestock. God said, I'll raise up my own cattle. I got my own stash. You kill every last one of them heathen cows. God was serious. What happened? He killed most of them, kept some alive. When he saw something good, he said, ooh, keep that. So when God sends Samuel back to him, Samuel said, did you do what the Lord? Well, first of all, it's almost comical. In 1 Samuel 15, read it when you get a chance. It's almost comical. He sees Samuel, the prophet of God, coming down the road. Praise the Lord. You ever seen folk try to block their wrongdoing with spiritual stuff? Folk do it every week at church. Praise the Lord. If you know him real good, say, what'd you do? Don't give me praise the Lord. What did you do? And Samuel said, did you do what the Lord told you? Here's the heart. Saul said, yeah. Did exactly what the Lord said. That showed his heart. He's about image, not about substance. Samuel said, then how come I hear sheep? Right there, 1 Samuel 15. Read it. How come I hear the lowing of cattle? Cows? What? You didn't do what the Lord said, because I would put my ear to the wind and hear nothing if you did what the Lord said. Oh, then he's showing his heart. My army, they kept some stuff alive. Shows your heart. You who can't own stuff, something's wrong with your heart. David, on the other hand, yes, he committed adultery, went out on the roof late at night while his army's out there fighting. He would normally be out there with them. He said, I got seniority. I'm going to let them go. Got out there on the roof, Bathsheba out there bathing. The Lord was his shepherd. He saw what he wanted. Called her. You know the story. Called her to the palace. She got pregnant. Her husband is fighting his battle. He said, I got to fix this. Calls him home on a weekend of R&R. So he'll go in and be with his wife so he can blame the pregnancy on her when he finds out he's pregnant. He's such a soldier, he won't sleep with his wife. He said, my boy's out there dying. He wouldn't lay in the bed with his wife out of loyalty to a king that has gotten into an entanglement. Sends wine over. He get drunk. He forget all this soldier stuff. He took a little wine, but he still wouldn't lay with his wife. He said, I'm not going to do that. My boy's out here dying. David now gets desperate. It's time for him to go back to the battlefield. He sends him with sealed orders for his own death. And he's such a soldier, he won't open the sealed orders. Hands them off, and his boys look at it, and it's told, put him at the front of the battle, then withdraw from him. How cold. See, that's what some of y'all, I don't believe. Yeah, cold. Yeah, callous. Yeah, this, that, the other. But when God sent Nathan to David in 2 Samuel 12, see, he does all this in 2 Samuel 11 when he sends his prophet in 2 Samuel 12. Prophet tells this story, and David gets mad because the story sounds like somebody else. Isn't that like us? They did what? But Nathan's a man of God. He said, you're the man. Here's what the Lord says. And he rebuked him for his sin. What was David's response? I have sinned. He went low. He owned. He said, I have sinned against the Lord, my God. It showed his heart. You don't need a perfect person. You need a person whose heart can be broken. And because of that, God said, I'm not going to take the throne from you. There's going to be consequences. You caused this, and there's going to be consequences. Sin always has consequences. But consequences aren't to death when you own them and put them under the blood. So you got to understand, God loves a broken-hearted person. He cannot deal with hard-hearted, throwing off the blame on other people.
How are you doing in these four areas? Assets, associations, actions, and attitudes. Becoming new in Christ means taking a hard look at these areas and, if necessary, making changes. Now, if you need prayer today, if you're having trouble putting off the old self in one of these key areas, the Destined for Victory Ministry team wants to help. Visit PastorPaul.net and use the contact feature at the top of the homepage to send us your prayer request. While you're there, be sure to ask for Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation. That's PastorPaul.net. Now, as you may know, Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry. We're so grateful for your past support, and we want to make sure to let you know how thankful we are. Should you choose to send a generous gift this month, we have a thank you gift of our own to share with you. It's Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, Loving Others When It's Not Easy. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to be a loving, functional family. In this timely resource, Pastor Paul offers practical advice about how to minimize conflict, settle differences, and walk in love. That's Loving Others When It's Not Easy, a booklet from Pastor Paul and our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. One more time, our address, Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
So it's one thing to put off the old in your life, in any area of your life, but it's another thing to be fully prepared to put on the new. And the way we prepare to put on the new, we are told here, is we have to have our new way of thinking to develop.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, The Process of Becoming New. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving holiday. And remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.